Brothers can come closer, inshallah. Just a few minutes, we'll try and keep it as short as possible, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Respected elders and dear brothers, last night we spoke about the importance of our niyat, our intention as we are seated here. That this is an attempt to reconnect with the Qur'an al-Kareem. That a person tries to understand the meaning and the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within the Qur'an for each and every one of us. And together with this, ulama explained that whenever we are seated in a gathering wherein the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned, then these are regarded as gatherings of divine ilm, divine knowledge. Ulama have explained that there is a difference when it comes to ilm, when it comes to knowledge, that there are two types of knowledge in this world. One is what we can call the knowledge of insan. That knowledge, that ilm, which is a result of the study, the research, the investigation done by insan. And this knowledge we find may be beneficial at times. In fact, it may be necessary at times also for a person to carry out his functions, to complete his duties and his tasks in this worldly life. But this knowledge is not definite. It is capable of change. It is capable of being proven wrong. It is capable of new research coming about and changing what was once understood. And then we have the second type of ilm, the second type of knowledge, which is regarded as divine knowledge, that which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this knowledge, ulama explain, is absolute. It is definite. It is certain. It has no capability of any change, of being added to or subtracted from. It cannot be abrogated. And it is most definitely beneficial for each and every person. And here in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the result. What will happen when a person brings within his life this divine knowledge? When he makes an effort to gain the knowledge of deen and to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from him, then what heights Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to? Allah speaks about the inception of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. When Allah created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. That remember when your Rabb said to the angels that I am going to create a vicegerent, a deputy in the earth. Now the angels had seen this happen before. They had seen Allah create the creation of jinnat, and these jinnat were put into this world. And the angels had seen it happen that the jinnat caused a lot of havoc, a lot of corruption, mischief in the world. And therefore, they posed the question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. That are you going to create another creation who is going to cause havoc, who is going to spill blood, and who is going to cause corruption in the world? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Whereas we, the angels, we glorify you, we praise you, we obey you, we do not break your commands. So what is the need for you to create another creation? So Allah answers them and says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That, O angels, I have knowledge of that which you don't have knowledge of. I know that which you don't know. In other words, the message is being sounded out that behind the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is always hidden wisdom. And sometimes we will not be able to understand and to fully comprehend the wisdom behind the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to further drive home this point, Allah then commands these angels to now bow down and prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. And after this, now Allah shows them the reason. He demonstrates to them the reason of the superiority of the creation of insan. That this creation of insan, although he is capable of disobedience, he is capable of breaking the commands of Allah, he is capable of completely going against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the angels, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. They never disobey Allah. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Whatever Allah commands them to do, they do immediately. But why is insan regarded as superior? Allah demonstrates this. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. That Allah now taught Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah gave him knowledge. Here ulama have difference of opinion. What did Allah teach Adam alayhi salam? The names of everything that he would require. Some say that Allah taught him the name of the different animals that would be created in this world. Some say that Allah taught him the names of the different plants, the trees, whatever it may be. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then Allah presented these things to the angels and said to them, that now you tell me the names of all of these items. If you claim that I should not create this insan and that you are better than him, then show me your superiority and you tell me the names of these items. Of course, the angels were unable to do so. They replied, Subhanak la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Glory be to you, O Allah. We have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. But here Allah is teaching us, or rather the message is being given to us, that insan, when he will bring divine knowledge within his life, when he will make an effort to learn the deen of Allah and learn that which Allah wants from him, then he will reach such heights that even the angels won't reach. Although he is capable of breaking the command of Allah, but when he brings that true knowledge within his life, that knowledge which will spur him on to make amal, to practice upon the teachings and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will reach great heights. Moving on in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second juz, Allah then speaks about the importance of consuming that which is wholesome, that which is pure, where Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. That all mankind eat from that which is in the earth with two conditions, that the food must be halal, it must be declared lawful by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tayyiban, it must be pure, it must be wholesome. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. And a very similar verse appears in Surah Al-Mu'minun, in the 18th juz, where Allah addresses the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Mufassirin have written that very few verses in the Quran, or very few commands in the Quran, where Allah addresses the Anbiya and uses the very same words to address the remaining people as well. But here we find this particular command, Ya ayyuha rusul, Allah addresses the Anbiya, that you eat that which is wholesome, that which is pure, and you do good deeds. And Allah commands us also, Ya ayyuha nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, that you also eat that which is pure, that which is wholesome. There is a very strong link between what we consume and the level of good deeds that we will be able to carry out. This has been mentioned by Mufassirin, and that is why we find during the month of Ramadan, if a person passes through the month of Ramadan as he ought to, where his food intake is lower than throughout the rest of the year, then he will find that he is encouraged to do more a'mal. He finds that strength, the energy, although he is eating less, but that drive, that desire comes within his heart to do more, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is easier to read Quran, it is easier to stand up for salah, it is easier to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether a person is fasting or he is not fasting, out of the month of Ramadan also, but when a person ensures that he eats that which is wholesome, that which is pure, and here also ulama explain that one is the food is regarded as halal, that whatever checks and balances are done, that this food is permissible. If it is some meat that we are eating, it was slaughtered in the correct way. And together with this, that the food is acquired through the correct avenues and means. It should not be that a person purchases the food, or he is feeding his wife, his children, his family with money that was gained through some means that were haram, some means that were impermissible. He usurped the wealth of someone, he was in some sort of a transaction where he deceived somebody, his business dealings were not above board, and now he is taking this wealth and feeding himself, his wife, his children. Then how will he ever get tawfiq to do good a'mal? And together with this, a very, very important point, and those who are here for Jummah would have heard Maulana mention, and really very, very valuable advices that were given. If we didn't hear the bayan, try and get a recording of it inshallah, where he spoke about the ruh, the spirit of the month of Ramadan. That many a times we find it has become customary amongst our communities that unfortunately in the month of Ramadan, when it comes to our food and our eating, all we are doing is just changing the times of our meals. So our breakfast is brought early, our lunch is delayed a little bit till sunset, and then we have our full supper after Taraweeh. So this is not the spirit of the month of Ramadan. Yes, we should eat as much as we require. We do not have to starve. We have to have energy, of course. People are working. But we should try and cut down. Whatever we were consuming outside of the month of Ramadan, try and decrease this so that we feel some sort of effect. And here also, ulama explained that as menfolk, we should make this intention and say to our wives at home also, that I don't mind if the savories are not piping hot, but that last 20-25 minutes before iftar, before maghrib salah, you go on the musalla and you make dua. You engage in some ibadat. Unfortunately, we find many a times, the women folk, those last few minutes, those valuable moments, before the maghrib azan, when duas are accepted, before they break in their fast, but they are in the kitchen, the savories are being prepared, because they know the husband is going to come home after salah, and he is hungry. So we make this from our own side. that we don't mind, even if it is a little bit cold, or you prepare it earlier, but spend that 15-20 minutes before Maghrib Azan, it will be beneficial for you, for myself, and for our entire household also. And then see the difference that will come about in our homes also during the month of Ramadan. Whether it be after Maghrib Salah, whether it be now when we go home after Taraweeh also, people partake of some meals, desserts, whatever it may be. But say to the woman folk, you complete your Taraweeh Salah, don't rush, read, take your time, make dua, then later we'll sit and have something. This is the spirit of the month of Ramadan. It should not just be about filling our bellies, that we fasted the entire day, and now we're going to cover up once we break our fast. Nevertheless, one more verse and then we'll terminate inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of dua, and especially in the month of Ramadan, each person makes dua to Allah, each person takes out time, asks Allah for his needs. Here Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my slaves ask about me, then O Nabi of Allah, tell them فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I answer the call of the person who calls me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, so tell them that they should call unto me, they should ask of me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and let them have firm belief, firm iman in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so that they may be rightly guided, so that I may fulfill their needs. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, or the ulama have mentioned, that when it comes to dua, there are a few etiquettes, a few adab that a person should try and abide by. And many a times we find it is common, before a person makes dua, we'll hear people say, recite Durood Sharif. Of course, Durood Sharif is a very great ibadat, great rewards that have been mentioned. But the correct way, the sunnat way taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person makes dua, is first to begin by praising Allah. Whatever words of praise, whether it be in the English language also, or simply Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that's sufficient. But a person begins his dua by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter reciting Durood Sharif. And then he makes dua. Here also ulama and mashayikh mention that a person should begin by making dua for himself, to show that I am most in need in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that I make dua for my wife, my children, my family members, or for the entire ummah first, and then leave myself last. No. A person should make dua and ask for his own needs first, to show his ajizi, his humility, and his submission before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, during his dua, do not forget others also. That dua which is most definitely accepted and accepted the quickest in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is da'watu ghaibin li ghaib, when a person makes dua for someone in his absence. So we begin with hamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter durood sharif, then we make dua for our own needs, make dua for those who are absent, whether it be our family members, whether it be the remaining ummah, people who are suffering throughout the world. And then when we conclude our dua also, durood sharif, and lastly praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama explain, if the dua is done in this manner, durood sharif is something that is definitely accepted. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, that ibadat which even Allah and the malaika engage in. So when a person makes dua in this manner, that he has durood sharif on either end of the dua, which is definitely accepted, then ulama say it is impossible that Allah will reject what is between them. Whatever else he asks for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to him also. And the last hadith that we'll mention pertaining to this particular verse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the sahaba that whenever a slave raises his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he asks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asks khair, that which there is goodness in, then one of three things happen. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his dua immediately and he gives him what he wants and he makes this good for him. Or the second possibility is, if it is not good for him at that point in time, then Allah saves this dua, stores it for him as a reward in the hereafter, in the akhirat. Or the third thing is that there was perhaps some calamity, some evil, some hardship that was going to afflict this person. By virtue of this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts that evil from this person. But every single dua is accepted, is answered. So we should have this yaqeen, this conviction. This morning we spoke about also having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we think of Allah, Allah will deal with us when we are making our dua also. Let us not have this mindset that many a times a person feels that I have broken so many commands of Allah and I know the condition of my life. Where is Allah going to accept my dua? And then we ask others to make dua for us. No, Each person should feel that I have that connection with Allah. Allah is waiting for me to turn to Him, to raise my hands up and ask from Him. And Allah is waiting to give us, Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.